Father, we thank you for this afternoon and thank you for your blessing. We thank you for Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus and what it means to all of us. Thank you, Lord, that this is not a fairy tale story. This is reality because it has brought salvation, it's brought healing, it's brought deliverance, and continues to bring them to as many as believe. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. May the Holy Spirit help us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share with you this afternoon about the women of the Holy Week. Amen. The women of the Holy Week. Women of the Holy Week. Amen. Now, Holy Week is basically the name that is given to the week that becomes Easter. Amen. And as you read the story, or as I read through the story of Easter, you can't help but notice the prominent involvement of women in all that transpired during that week. Hallelujah. And I think that it should be a great encouragement, especially to all the ladies of this church. Amen. And so I want to share with you a little bit. We just read a lot of verses. Amen. And some of them are basically the same verse in another, from another person who is reporting a similar story. Amen. But I just want us to read them so we can get a good feel of what these women were doing. Amen. Now, the first woman that we meet in during the Holy Week is a woman whose name is not given, but her description is that she is the wife of Pilate. Wow. She's the wife. She was married to Pilate. Mrs. Pilate, if you like. Right? And we read about her when we start reading from verse 15 of Matthew chapter 27. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 27. It says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." Amen. Verse 19, "And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Hallelujah. "She sent a message unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and he, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. Well, I just have a little comment to make here about godly women who, first of all, are spiritual. Amen. This was a woman who believed in dreams and who believed in visions. And not only would she have a dream and a vision, but she would wake up and try to act on it. Amen. Many of us don't believe in our dreams and visions. That is why we're having less and less of them. Because even when God speaks to you through a dream or a vision, you do not pay attention to it. Amen. But starting this year, I told you that today is the first day of the year. You're going to become a man and a woman of dreams and visions. Because dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you a dream and a vision at a time when your active body and mind have actually settled. And only your spirit is alert. Do you see what I'm saying? That your body is so tired, your mind is so tired, and you lay down to rest. Then the Holy Spirit ministers to you through a dream or a vision. You see what I'm saying? And we have to learn to respect dreams and visions. Amen? We have to learn to respect dreams and visions. Now, the other thing this woman did was how that she gave or tried to give her husband good advice. Isn't it? She sent a message unto him and said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Have thou nothing to do with that just man? See, Pilate was under a lot of political pressure. He was a politician. And he knew that, look, the votes at the end of the day are the deciding factor. You have to do anything that brings you votes. Anything that makes the people like you. Politicians need the people to like them. They want the people to like them. And they like it when the people like them. Do you see what I'm saying? And that sometimes can make them pervert justice. And it affects their judgments. They do what the people like rather than what is right. This was a woman who perceived that Jesus Christ was a just man. She couldn't see what Jesus had done wrong. And her husband himself could see that it was just out of envy. Do you see what I'm saying? It was just out of envy that the people had delivered Jesus Christ to be crucified, and not because Jesus had done anything in particular. And so the woman tried to step in and advised her husband and to give him spiritual advice. She could have defended her position because, you know, the politician's wife also needs the votes. You see what I'm saying? Because her standard of living is also determined, usually, by the votes. If the husband stays in power, she gets to live in a big house. She gets to have a chauffeur-driven vehicle. She gets to go to places and then flash her card as the minister of so-and-so's wife. You know, I mean, that's the game. And so she could have actually aligned herself with the side that keeps them in power. But she chose to step aside and distance herself from it and recognize that what is going on here, put votes aside, put popularity aside, what is going on here is a just man is about to be crucified. And she stood up and said, do not have anything to do with it. Hallelujah. We need women who give good advice. We need women who give spiritual advice. Women who counsel people and say, have nothing to do with this.
Wow.
Have nothing to do with this person. Have nothing to do with this situation. Don't get involved with this. You need to back off. Don't get involved with something like this. It's not going to help you. Hallelujah. Instead of people who fan it because they can see an advantage in it for them. Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of people who fan an evil thing, something that shouldn't be. Do you see? You see someone going out with someone's husband, and instead of giving her advice to say, have thou nothing to do with this person, that don't get involved with something like this. Rather, you can see that the guy is rich, and the guy, through your connections, can actually be a blessing to you also. You see. So when your opinion is sought you for, you do not give a clear, direct, do not do this type of advice. But rather you stay neutral and pretend as though you don't really know what it's about. Do you see? And you say, well, huh? They're about to divorce anyway. You're not the one who went after him. I mean, he came after you, you know. And if it was not the Lord's will, you know, he would not be. Why don't you just go and pray? Pray that the Lord's will be done. Yeah, because God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And who knows whether this is what God has ordained. What if the marriage was not supposed to be in the first place? Do you see what I'm saying? And rather, by some prayer, God is correcting his will. Do you see? It's a correction of what has gone wrong from the beginning. Do you see? There are many mysteries, and you will grow to understand that life is more complex than the way it presents. And so, well, I don't know. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the decision is yours. But, I mean, I hope the little I've said encourages you and helps you. It's a very bad person. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you like this woman? I love her too. Amen. When he was set down on the judgment seat, when he was about to give the judgment, then she sent a note and said, have nothing to do with this just man. Hallelujah. See, every woman, especially who is married to a man, has influence on his judgment. And that influence must be exercised in a positive way to bring about good and not evil. It shouldn't be used to fulfill selfish interests and to fulfill ungodly desires that are in the heart of a person. See, human beings are complex. Sometimes are you not surprised at the juices that run through you? Are you not surprised at the thoughts that occur to you? We are very complex. Our hearts are deep, and there are all kinds of things in our hearts. Especially if our hearts are not saturated and dominated by the word of God. All sorts of things get involved. Are you? Yes. So it is important for us to be careful. Amen? Amen. We need women who are spiritual.
Amen.
Who are going by the dream.
Yeah.
Not by the votes. Not by popularity, but by the dream, what was revealed in the night. And I believe it will lead to a blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
So that's the first woman that we see in the Holy Week. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mrs. Pilate, I think that she's a nice person. Amen. Right. Now, next is a group of women, you know, and Matthew chapter 27 is where we meet them. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. The Bible says in verse 55. Now let's start from verse verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. But this discovery came too late, isn't it? After they have crucified him, then they said, truly, this was the Son of God. You see, Bishop often says that every knee will bow, but some knees will bow too late. Hallelujah. We have to be careful not to do the right things, but to do them too late. Do you understand? Doing something too late has the same effect as not doing it. Do you understand? See, like if you go to the airport late, you get to the airport, but you don't get to fly the plane, same as if you were at home. Isn't it? You're doing the right thing, but you've done it too late. Hallelujah. That is why we all need to pray for quick understanding. Quick understanding. One of the things about the anointing of God in Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says that, and shall make him of quick understanding. That when the Spirit of God comes upon you, one of the effects on you is that you begin to understand things quickly. Do you see? So that you don't make your moves and take your decisions too late. See, these people have suddenly recognized, if only they could have seen this just a few minutes earlier, you know, they may not have crucified Jesus Christ. Do you see? But they acknowledged that this was truly the Son of God, but only after they had crucified him and there was an earthquake and all that. Now, verse 55, and many women, everybody say many women. Many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. Hallelujah. Ministering unto him. Women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Right? So this was a group of women who were following Jesus and beholding afar off, but had been coming all the way from Galilee, had followed Jesus all the way to the place of crucifixion. Hallelujah. And when you read on in the story, verse 57 says, and when the even was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Wow. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene. Do you see? So not only did they follow to the crucifixion, but they followed also to the tomb. Wow. So there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Can you see that? Now jump to chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. See, this is why you need to read the account from all the different gospels. Do you see? It's like hearing a story. That when you go to court, sometimes they hear more than one witness, because each witness gives a side of the story. They give the same story from a different angle. And sometimes the same story from different angles supply what is missing. And when you piece it all together, you get a better and a more complete picture of what actually happened, isn't it? So in the story we were reading this morning, what it just said that when they got there, the stone was already rolled away, isn't it? It is Matthew who is now telling us how that stone was removed, isn't it? He said there was an earthquake because this is the earthquake that happened. You see, then he says, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Do you see? The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. I see the angel of the Lord descending from heaven to roll back any stone that is holding you back. Any place that has been blocked for you from accessing, any place that you cannot enter, the angel of the Lord is coming to roll back that stone from heaven in the name of Jesus. I tell you, he rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Hey, the angel is showing who is more powerful. Yeah, he moved the stone and then he sat on the stone to show that I have power and dominion over this stone. I tell you, you will be sitting on the stones that are holding you back and shutting you out of places in the name of Jesus, because the angel of the Lord is being released to roll back that stone. Hallelujah. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment was white as snow, just like Daniel's raiment. You know, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These are the guards at the stone place. They became as dead men. I tell you, all the people that are guarding the doors and keeping you out, the demons and the evil spirits, they will shake and become like dead men in the name of Jesus. The angel answered and said unto the women. Now I want you to notice that all this is happening. No man has appeared in this place yet. Do you see? The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Hallelujah. Amen. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. This is all the women, isn't it? Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see how that the women went to the tomb. They went there. They saw the angel. They were having all these amazing experiences. By this time, the brothers are nowhere to be found. The brothers are not even close, and they are not in the story at all. Hallelujah. Now go to Mark and see what Mark also has to say about these women, right? Mark starts from chapter 15. Chapter 15, and we read from verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Many other women which came up to him unto Jerusalem. Now, if you jump up to verse 46, he says, and he brought fine linen. This is Joseph of, okay, let's start from verse 45. And when he knew of it, the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. So now you understand. You know who messed with the stone, isn't it? And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is risen, which is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for this is the women. All right, they went quickly as they were told to do. They were told to go, and then they just went quickly. Because you will find that women are more obedient than men. Yes, you will find out that women are better at carrying out instructions than men. And I believe that must be one of the reasons why God committed such a delicate story upon whom the rest, upon which the rest of Christianity was going to rest. Do you understand? Because our whole faith is actually sitting on this one fact that Jesus died and rose again. And God needed to entrust it with someone who was not going to be experimental with the story. Someone who was not going to play hanky-panky with it. But someone who, you know, had sufficient integrity and respect for the instruction to carry the story as was given to them and to take it safely to the disciples without distorting it. Hallelujah. And when God is looking for someone to do such a delicate job, he would choose a woman. That's why it is women that carry babies. That's why it is women that get pregnant and not men. I mean, Pastor Charles was to get pregnant. You see, he'll be playing soccer. You see, he's pregnant too. And then he'll forget around 7-8 months. And then you'll see Pastor Charles, he's playing soccer. You know, he'll be running across the place and just be playing soccer and table tennis and other games like that. You see, God needs to entrust such a precious and delicate thing with someone that can handle the thing with some kind of respect and delicateness, and respect what has been given to them. And a woman does that job best. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm reading with you? Right. So you can see now verse 9. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. I mean, I wish as a man that this was not so. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure Peter wishes that, you know, his name was here. Don't you think so? Peter must have wished that he was the first person that Jesus appeared to. But he said he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him. And as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Can you see that? They believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. You see, so the men are hearing the story twice. And they still don't believe it. See, but the women, when they saw it, they just believed. And they started running. Do you see? They just believed and they started running. You know? You will come to understand that it must be the reason why the work of God seems to advance where there are women. Because women are quicker believers. Yeah, women are quicker believers and women run with the story. Do you see? Jesus spoke to one woman of Samaria. And after that encounter, she just went and told everybody right from that place. I mean, before Jesus could leave the well, the woman had gone to spread the whole story because she had believed and was already passing around the story. Are you understanding it? Right. Let's jump on to Luke. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 10. Luke chapter 24. And verse 10. All right, let's start from verse 7. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered. Well, verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. Okay? They told all these things unto the 11. Now, who is telling what unto the 11? It is the women. Okay. If you were to go to the beginning of the chapter, or even the end of the previous chapter, and start from verse 55, that's Luke chapter 23 and verse 55, it says, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Verse 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. Can you see? So it's the women that are telling the story again to their 11, isn't it? And it was Mary Magdalene. Now, which women? Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You see? Yeah. Idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. Hallelujah. Right. So I just want you to notice how, again, it looks like the women are featuring in the story. The women are consistently following Christ. The women are consistently being used by God to handle his precious things. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that God has great interest in women when it comes to handling things that are precious to him. Amen. Amen. And all of you ladies in this church must begin to understand this role. You must understand that God believes in women, and God uses women a lot. Hallelujah. When you have a church like our church, a young, small church that is growing, you cannot discount the contribution of women to making this church work and making the church develop to become what it must become. Hallelujah. Thank God for all these amazing brothers that we have. But I want to say that a lot of work or a great contribution from women can propel this church into greatness and into growth. If the women in the church will arise, do you understand? The women in the church will arise and recognize that God believes in them, and God can use them, and God will entrust precious things to women. I mean, God has a reason why he gives babies to children, women. God must have a reason that he gives his babies to women. And it's not surprising that when God has a baby called a church, it will first be handled mostly by women. When you start a new church, you will find that all your initial members are women. They are the ones who come very quickly. They are the ones who believe very quickly. Do you understand? Plus a few men whose hearts God has touched. A few men who are experiencing miracles. A few men upon whom the Spirit of God has descended. Do you understand? But for the women, the Spirit of God does not even have to descend on them. That they naturally do well at taking care of babies. And when you have a baby church, you need the women to rise up and do what women do best, which is to take care of the babies. Can I have an amen? Why will women help this church to grow? Number one, women will help this church grow because they helped Jesus in his ministry. So you see how we continue to read that some of the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Joanna and Salome and all these other women who are not named, the Bible says they had been following him since Galilee. They had been following Jesus Christ since when? Galilee. When Jesus was in Galilee preaching and doing his ministry, these women were part of his ministry and they followed him. It didn't bother them that Jesus Christ had been arrested, he had been charged with a crime, and that he was going to be crucified. They followed him. They went to the crucifixion place. They stood there to watch it. And even after the crucifixion, they were interested in his body. Wow. They wanted to know, what are you going to do with the body? We want to know what will happen to the body. And we want to know where. It says when they took the body, when Joseph came to beg for the body, because you see, you need connections. Like Joseph, he was a big guy with a lot of money. And so he must have been respected to be able to make his way into Pilate's office and negotiate and ask, look, can you give me the body? I mean, can you imagine if they, like someone going to ask President Obama for Osama bin Laden's body? It's like they've killed a criminal and that somebody wants his body. You have to be a very important person to be able to engage at that level and even to have that conversation at all. So that was a job for Joseph. Maybe the women could not have done that. But when Joseph got the body, the women continued to follow Joseph to see what is he going to do with the body? Where is he going to put the body? Then they went to prepare their spices. So their love for Christ and the ministry seemed to go beyond his life. That even in death, they were still ministering to him, coming with spices to anoint the body of their dead preacher. That is the depth of love that a woman is capable of expending on the things of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I want you ladies to respect it and to begin to see that God has given you a deep and large capacity for loving the things of God and for promoting, supporting, and pushing his work forward. And you must not allow anything to hold you back, but that you must actually break out of the things that hold you back and actually push and do what the women did for Jesus Christ. That even when he was dead, they were still working very, very hard and just showing their love and showing that we are not leaving this man for you, whether he's dead or alive. Hallelujah. And it is that pursuit and passion that made them the first people to see and hear about the resurrection. I mean, they landed into something they were not expecting to land into at all. Hallelujah. I see that being your story as you follow Jesus Christ. So women will help. Women help Jesus. And the same reason. Okay, come. Do you know who that is? Daniela. Amen. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? So the same passion with which women bring, or which women bring to other things, they can also bring to the work of God. They help Jesus and they can help this church also. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, women will make the church grow because the Apostle Paul used women in his ministry. The Apostle Paul used women in the ministry. Right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Hallelujah. So you see that Paul said there were women who labored with him in the gospel, isn't it? Women who worked with him and helped him in the gospel. And I believe that if Paul could use the help of women, then we also could use the help of women in this church. Say amen.
Amen.
Number three, women will make the church grow because they recognize the anointing and believe in it quicker than men. Women recognize the anointing and they believe in it quicker than men. It is just the way it is, that women seem to recognize it when they are with an anointed person. For us men, we ask a lot of questions. Do you see? And we delay in embracing and accepting sometimes even the calling on somebody's life. But women believe it. And they believe it so many times faster than men. Hallelujah. I believe that the women in this church will see the anointing and they will help the church to grow very fast. Say amen. Right. Our time is up already. Okay, number four. Women will make the church grow because God has destined to destroy the devil through women. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God has destined to destroy the devil through women. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Hallelujah. This is an old time prophecy from the day that the devil messed with what God had done in the Garden of Eden. God promised him that victory against you will come through a woman. He said, through the seed of the woman will give birth to something that will crush your head. Yes, it says the woman will give birth to something, the woman will produce something that will crush your head. Think of it this way. Every woman must think of yourself as someone who is supposed to produce something that will crush the head of the devil. Hallelujah. You must see yourself as someone who is supposed to produce something that will crush the work of the devil. That something could be a soul. That something could be the church. The building and the establishment of the church. Because the church itself is a direct, the existence of the church alone is a direct confrontation to the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. So the women must rise up and believe that. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Believe that. You are not weak. You are strong. Amen. I said you are not weak. You are strong. Amen. God is counting on you. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Hallelujah. Right. The next one is because women are the producers of children. Women will make the church grow because women are the producers of children. That there is a spiritual parallel, that it is not for nothing that children are born by women. Do you see? Sometimes you see a man who has a big, large pot belly, but there's nothing in it. You see? Yeah. But when you see a woman with that type of a belly, you can expect that there's something in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, Jifa had the same type of pot belly. Something came out of it. But Pastor Charles's pot belly, nothing has come out of it. We are still waiting. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you should understand that in the same way, lots of spiritual children can come from women. Amen. I believe our church will grow through the ladies in the church. Do you believe it? Yeah. Because women have a way of attracting other people to the church. They can convince people to come to the church, especially guys. Yeah, the ladies can convince guys to come. You see, and sometimes, and to stay, I tell you. I don't know what they tell them. Do you see? But they can convince them to come. You know, sometimes when I watch some of the ladies and what they do, they pick up people and go here, you see, and you see the guys are coming. Hey! It's too fantastic. It is just too fantastic. So I want to encourage you to continue. Amen. Amen. I'm urging you to continue. I want you to understand that these are things we are reading. Or can you not see? We are reading them from the Bible. Yeah. That there must have been a reason when God started introducing the resurrection and all that. It was all just women, 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 women. I mean, this was a delicate story. Something that has not happened before. It can easily be messed up. The story can be twisted one little way that the story is twisted and then everything changes. You even remember that some people went to pay some people. Do you see? The Bible says they took money and they went and told some people that, you know something, this Jesus, he was saying that when he dies, he will rise up again. You see, now in case that is true, here is some money. If we go and the body is not there, that is to say that he's really risen from the dead, then I want you guys to say that his disciples came to steal the body. You see, just to twist the story slightly, if that had worked, you see, and that was the contender to the story of the women. the one that the money had bought, the storyline that had been purchased with money, was competing against the storyline that the women had witnessed. And trust God that the women's story won. Hallelujah. The women's story won. God had a reason why he gave that story to the women. And the men's story rather failed. The one that was backed by money, that one didn't work. But the one that was being carried by the heart of a woman, the conviction of a woman, what a woman believes, what a woman has seen, what a woman is convinced about, you cannot take it from them. Amen. So believe it, believe it, believe it. Don't just see yourself as someone who just come and go in the church. Understand that God is counting on you. God has a reason why he has put you in the church at this time when it's a baby. Because God knows he can trust women with babies. Hallelujah. A time is going to come when the men will take over. But for now, it is the women. Pastor Charles, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Right. That's why you don't see baby sinner following Pastor Charles to work. Because at this stage of his life, he needs a woman. He needs a mother. He needs someone who has feelings. Someone who can care. Someone who responds to Christ. Someone who is asleep. But as she's asleep, her ears are open. Someone who can think about so many things at the same time. You know, she can think about all her children and think about all the different needs all the different children have all at the same time. It's a special gift. We need to translate that gift into working for God. You should be, we should have women who can think about all the people who haven't been to church in a while and be able to think about them all at the same time. Bring that gift for nurturing small and young things to bear on the work of God. And you're going to see that the results will begin to show. Say amen.
Amen.
Next one, women will make this church grow because women are good pastors. Women are good pastors. Women have a natural gift of talking. They have a natural gift of caring and nurturing people. You know, sometimes when we come to church and I look at the visitors and I see nobody is talking to them, I feel very sad that if our ladies will rise up and pounce, look at those two young guys who were in church this morning. You know, all they need is some women's care. You know, some attention from some of the ladies in the church. Do you see? Some ladies speaking softly to them. Maureen speaking softly to them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they need. Some of these guys who come around, they need some ladies to pay attention to them. Yeah. Amen. They need some ladies to talk to them. They need some ladies to show them some care. And I believe that God will use the women to establish them in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Next one, women make a church grow because women are good helpers. Women are good helpers. Women are good helpers. Women make natural helpers. Remember when God was going to make the woman, create the woman, he said, I want to make a helper. I want to make someone to help you. That this creature I'm about to make, her main purpose will be to help you. So women come with a natural gift to help. When you add women to anything, the thing starts to work better. And it starts to move faster. And it starts to gallop and starts to develop and it starts to do well. Hallelujah. And so the ladies in the church must understand that God has given you the gift of helping. That is a special grace that you have. Hallelujah. When you have a woman in your life, you're blessed because you have a help in your life. It is the same word that is used for the Holy Spirit when he's also called a helper. Think of all the things the Holy Spirit makes and the difference he makes to our work, the difference he makes to our preaching, the difference he makes to everything we do. That is the same extent and magnitude of help that God intends for the church to have by putting women in the church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So instead of allowing so many problems to overwhelm you and to confuse you, do you see what I'm saying? And for you to lose track of your ability to help, because sometimes women are so overwhelmed by their personal problems and by the emotional things and marital issues and so many different things that affect you in so many ways. But you see, you are also affected in so many ways and so easily because God has made you like that. What I mean is that you have to be that sensitive to be able to do well what women do. Are you following what I'm saying? The side effect of that is also that you are also going to be easily hurt. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to be tender. You have to be soft in order to have feelings for a little child that is growing. But that same thing is what makes you vulnerable to being hurt by different issues, marital issues, problems with another woman, problems with so many other things that affect women. Do you see? But unfortunately, we often tend to shift the focus to those problems instead of understanding that there is a reason why this thing is soft like this. There's a reason why this thing has been created like this so that it can perform and work in a certain way and produce a certain result. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the last point for today is women will make the church grow because they are more permanent and loyal workers. Women will make the church grow because they are more permanent and loyal workers. I mean, my heart was glad when I read from one of the passages we read today, how that the scripture kept mentioning it was these same women that followed him all the way from Galilee and ministered unto him back then. Do you understand? Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, you see the same thing. This is as early as Luke chapter 8. And we're reading these stories around Luke chapter 24 and so on. And in chapter 8, we're reading that it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, right? And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, can you see, out of whom went seven devils. do you get it? Yeah. They were gone. All right? The devils were gone. Hallelujah. Every devil in every woman is gone in the name of Jesus. And the next verse, next one, please. It says, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of his substance. These are the same names that are being mentioned at the end. This is Luke chapter 8. Before you go to 10 and 12 and 15 and 17 and 20, and these women are still involved all the way up to chapter 24, and the women are still around. Even now, the preacher, the man that they are ministering to, is dead, and they say, give us his body. We want to minister to the body also. Wow. Wow. Talk about loyalty and permanence. Hallelujah. So ladies, let us begin to feel that gift that God has placed in you. Amen. Let us begin to feel that permanence. All these people, they were married and so on. This is somebody's wife, isn't it? Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. You know, so it's not like these are freelance ladies who don't have anything to do. Do you get it? They're all married to people who like a good dinner, people who like, you know, pot roast and, you know, roasted different things. And they like to eat beef and soups and fufu and all kinds of things like that. But they were still able to make time to work for God and to support the ministry and to continue to follow it all the way to the end. Hallelujah. And it is true, women don't often leave churches except if they are being terrorized by another woman in the place. That is when the devils have not gone. And the seven devils haven't left. Maybe three are gone, but two remaining terrorists. You get it? You have some two remaining terrorists. who just go on and off. They go walk around through dry places and seeking rest, and finding none, they return to their house, you know. But otherwise, on a good day and a normal day under normal circumstances, the women do not leave churches. Hallelujah. And I prophesy that such will be the women of this church in the name of Jesus Christ, ministering to him of their substance. These are not the boyfriends or girlfriends of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Jesus is not trying to have lovers. He cannot have all these women like that. He's not Solomon. Hallelujah. He's greater than Solomon. Hallelujah. He's greater than Solomon. So what conquered Solomon will not conquer him. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So let's release ourselves and give ourselves to the work. Because God has ordained that through the woman, the head of the devil will be crushed. Through the woman, the head of the devil will be crushed. Through the woman, the head of every devil in this church will be crushed. Yes, through the ladies in this church, the head of every devil here will be crushed in the name of Jesus. So rise up, ladies, on this Resurrection Sunday. It's a day for ladies to rise up. It's a day for ladies to stand up. It's a day for ladies to rise up in prayer, rise up in visitation, rise up in evangelism, rise up in counseling, rise up in going all out and giving yourself to the ministry of the church to support the work of God. One day you're going to find that your greatest investment really was not even in your children, but it was in what you put in the house of God. You're going to find that the only real thing worth building is the house of God. The house that houses your house. The house that can accommodate your house, your entire family, and put things in order in your house. That is what you must use your energy and strength to build. And I believe that you will reap in due season if you do not faint. Say amen. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering for all the ladies in the church. And stand to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Amen. 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 Yes, we salute to the ladies, right? Okay, let's bow our heads and let's begin to pray. Everybody just pray. Let's pray for the ladies in the church. Let's pray for them that God will anoint them and God will choose them. And God will use them to build his church, to build his work. That just as they supported Jesus Christ, so will they support his church. So will they support Christ beyond his existence on this earth. The women gave themselves even to his body. They said, give us his body. We don't have Christ, but if we can have his body, we will support him. We will bring spices for the body. The church is his body. The church of Jesus Christ is his body. And what you do for his body, you do for Christ. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that your anointing and your grace will multiply upon our sisters and upon the ladies. We want to see ladies out there in the streets, driving and going places, going on visitation, going to look for souls, to search for God's people, ministering to them, talking to them, counseling them, speaking the word of God, giving good counsel and good advice. Like the wife of Pilate, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. I will love you, Lord,
my strength.
Oh, I will.
I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed.
Give me vision.
Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from.
Give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
Oh, you know just what to do.
You know just what to do.
Blessing. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what you have taught us this afternoon about these precious ladies we have in our midst, about your plans and purposes for them, and about what they are capable of being used for, what they can do to contribute to your work. Just as you chose Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Salome and Joanna and other women to help Jesus Christ, in addition to the disciples, we pray, Lord, that you will empower and equip the ladies of this church to rise up, to do even more for you in putting the church together, in keeping the church together, in preserving the people you have given us. Let the gift of the woman, the nurturing gift, the pastoral gift that you have given naturally to women, let the gift arise in the ladies of this church. And let that gift bless the church. Let the church benefit from the ladies you have given to it, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there not be a lady who is idle. Let there not be a lady who tears down the house rather than builds it up. Let there not be a lady amongst us, O God, who is not anointed, in the name of Jesus. But anoint them with wisdom. Give them visions. Give them dreams like Pilate's wife. Fill their mouths with good counsel. And equip them, anoint them with the Holy Ghost, that they will be great helpers to push and advance the work of God. Thank you for all the brothers you have given us. May the grace upon the disciples also be upon us, that we may work together with the women to accomplish great things for God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.